Well, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope you had a great holiday. This is Steve Sappington with Enriching People's Lives. And today is Sunday. I'm actually recording this a few days early. And so we hope that you've had a great Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hope you maybe found a few bargains on Friday and got to spend great quality time with family. Hope you've had safe travels. And hope you have a great weekend worship time also. We want to do some holiday-based topics today, and we're going to share with you some information that dates back to some of our founding fathers and then to Abraham Lincoln. And then we'll also I'm going to read some excerpts that I wrote for Thanksgiving in my book, Today's Word on Money. Thank all of you for listening, and we're going to have a free gift for someone later on, so be sure and stay tuned. We're going to give you the opportunity to get a free copy of my book, so stay tuned to that and find out how you can do that, and we'll look forward to sharing that with someone as a little holiday present, my present to you. You know, our founding fathers were some very brilliant men and God-fearing men. And the more I study about them, the more I'm impressed with how blessed we were and how God arranged for certain people to be in the right place at the right time. So many of you may have seen this, but I'm going to read President George Washington wrote in 1789. I'll give you a little background about this, but this was one of the first times that country was encouraged to be thankful in public and in private also. So we want to share with you a little bit about that. It was a historic proclamation. It was actually issued by George Washington during his first year as president, and it sets aside Thursday, November 26th, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. And by the way, if you'd like to know where to find this, you can Google it and just, you know, Google George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation, or call me at 751-0565, and I'll be happy to give you the information. I can email it to you. But this letter, proclamation, was actually signed by George Washington on October the 3rd of 1789. And if you remember our history, you'll remember that several things had happened over the past 15 years previous to that. The nation had gone through the Revolutionary War. You know, many of our founding fathers gave their lives and or their fortunes, you know, sacrificing for us, not to mention the soldiers who overcame amazing odds. You know, miraculous victories occurred during that whole time. And of course then there were some kind of false starts as the government was formed, and then finally they agreed and formed the new government. And of course this was actually in New York City before Washington D.C. had been built. And so the decree that President Washington signed appointed the Day of Thanksgiving to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts, quote, the many and signal favors of Almighty God, end quote. And there were Thanksgiving observances in America before that time, both before and after this proclamation, but this represents the first to be that was designated by the new national government. You know, after the first harvest, the colonists of the, you know, Plymouth plantation, they held a celebration of food and feasting in the fall of way back in 1621. So that's been, you know, almost 400 years ago. Indian chiefs, including Squanto and Samoset, joined in the celebration with 90 of their men, and it was a three-day event. The first Thanksgiving observance was held June 29th of 1671. So that was 50 years after the first Thanksgiving, or the first celebration that the Pilgrims had. It was held in Charlestown, Massachusetts, and the town's governing council had issued a proclamation to designate that day as the day of Thanksgiving. And then during the 1700s, it was common practice for individual colonies to observe days of Thanksgiving throughout each year. And, Thanksgiving Day 200 years ago was a day set aside for prayer and fasting. You know, not a day marked as it is nowadays, you know, with plentiful food and drink. You know, it's synonymous now with overeating now, but that wasn't the case back then. And then later in the 18th century, each of the states periodically would designate a day of Thanksgiving in honor of maybe a military victory, or an adoption of a state constitution, or maybe an exceptionally bountiful harvest or crop. And, that was the type of Thanksgiving Day celebration that was held in December of 1777 by the colonies nationwide. And it actually commemorated the surrender of a British General Burgoyne at Saratoga. Then several decades later in 1863, October 3rd, President Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation that called for the observance of the fourth Tuesday of November as a national holiday. Then in the 20th century, President Franklin Roosevelt, 1939, he actually moved the holiday to the third Thursday of November, which extended the Christmas shopping season, boosted the economy. And, after a storm of protest, Roosevelt changed the holiday again in 1941 to the fourth Thursday in November, where it stands today. So I want to read to you what Washington and Lincoln had to say, hundreds of years ago. This is from President Washington. Just as I'm reading this, think about the brilliance of these men, the humility. Think about also the character, the integrity, and think about how that compares with our leaders today. How many leaders do we have today that would say things as eloquently and as boldly in terms of their spiritual beliefs as these people did back then? So this is from President Washington. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me, quote, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness, end quote. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been able to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he, God, alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1789, signed, George Washington. I would venture to say that none of us today in the year 2009 have heard a political leader or a statesman give a speech like that or write a letter like that. So, again, I would encourage you to get a copy of that letter and read it from time to time. One of the things that impressed me was that it kind of reminds me in the way of the book of Nehemiah. If you look at many of Nehemiah's prayers, he first praised God. You know, he emphasized, you know, you, God, and you're this and you're that. And he, you know, his focus was on God, not on himself. And then when he did turn and focus on himself, it was to be humble and repentant, to ask for forgiveness for his sins and transgressions. And so, again, George Washington does much of the same. You know, he thanks God for all the blessings and asks for forgiveness for shortcomings. I think that would be something that would benefit all of us here in America and around the world, if we would do, rather than lifting our being so self-centered and wanting our way, wanting everything to go exactly according to what's best for us, if we would seek God's will first and also humble ourselves. Be amazing what would happen in this country. Well, that's my political sermon for the day. Let me read to you also this proclamation of thanksgiving that was given October 3rd, 1863 by President Abraham Lincoln. A little background on this. It's the proclamation which actually set the precedent for America's National Day of Thanksgiving. During his administration, President Lincoln issued many orders like this. For example, on November 28, 1861, he ordered government departments closed for a local day of Thanksgiving. And Sarah Josepha Hale, a prominent magazine editor, wrote a letter to President Lincoln in 1863, urging him to have the, quote, day of our annual Thanksgiving made a national and fixed union festival. She wrote, quote, "You may have observed that for some years past, there's been an increasing interest felt in our land to have the Thanksgiving held on the same day in all the states. It now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution," end quote. The document I'm about to read sets apart the last Thursday of November as a day of Thanksgiving and praise. According to an April 1st, 1864 letter from John Nicolay, one of President Lincoln's secretaries, this document was written by Secretary of State William Seward, and the original was in his handwriting. Then on October 3rd of 1863, fellow cabinet member Gideon Welles recorded in his diary that he complimented Seward on his work. A year later, the manuscript was sold to benefit Union troops. So here's the proclamation from President Lincoln. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well as of iron and coal and of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficial Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, and mourners or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington this third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1863, and of the independence of these United States, the 88th. So he actually had also counted, you know, how many years it had passed since the Declaration of Independence, which was 88 years. I think we had mentioned earlier that, these addresses to me parallel in some ways the book of Nehemiah, and how the prophet Nehemiah, how he, if you look at most of his prayers early on in the book, they were really strongly, repeatedly emphasizing the Lord's name and the Lord's goodness and control and power and his sovereignty. And then many of the prayers after that began to seek repentance, seek forgiveness, and to express repentance. And then after that, Nehemiah began to say, Lord, remember your promises. And I think that's a good model for us today, that too often we want to just quote some of the promises without acknowledging God's sovereignty or our need to ask for forgiveness, our need to repent. So I think that's an important lesson for us, that it's as Rick Warren says in his book, it's not about us, it's about God. And, you know, how can we serve him? How can we thank him? How can we praise him? How can we love him and worship him and honor him? And also, how can we, acknowledge that he alone is good, he alone is worthy, and that without him, we couldn't make it. And, you know, once we get that proper relationship established, then, you know, God in his mercy allows us to remind him of his word and to claim those promises that were bought for us by Jesus. So, again, it's the wording is a little different than we would word nowadays, but the thought behind it and it's powerful to me, what they say about our country and how we should treat it, how we should honor God. It's refreshing to me because we don't hear any leaders that are saying that type of thing nowadays. And so, again, I would ask you to pray with me that, there would be revival in this country. You know, it's not going to come from the Democrats or Republicans. It's going to come from God and from, his people praying and asking for forgiveness and seeking his face, because he alone has the answers. No politician does. Last today, I want to share with you a little excerpt from my book, Today's Word on Money. As I mentioned earlier, the website is todayswordonmoney.com, and it's a 40-day study that examines the spiritual components of today's financial problems. I don't think many people recognize, the responsibility or the part that spirituality or the lack thereof has in terms of our financial problems today. So, we wanted to deal with that in our book. So, in addition to those 40-day studies, though, we also wrote some things that were linked up to some of the traditional holidays. And so I'd like to read you the lesson or the chapter that I wrote for Thanksgiving Day. And basically, it's a lot of praise verses. That's why I hope you're inspired by these as I am. And we're reading from several different translations. So the chapter begins like this. For the Christian, every day should be Thanksgiving Day, even when we encounter problems. And I refer to 2 Corinthians 7:4. Before you read these praise verses, let me encourage you that at least once during these year-end holidays, you take both time and money to bless someone who is less fortunate than yourself. You know, we don't give to get, but God says in many different passages that he wants his people to be a blessing, and they will be blessed for doing so. Acts 10:4 tells us how God viewed Cornelius, who was one of the very first Gentiles to become a Christian. So from Acts 10:4 it says, "And Cornelius, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, 'What is it, Lord?' The angel said to him, 'Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him.'" That's from the Amplified Translation. So the following are some of the many scriptures which praise God, our Heavenly Father. And you don't have to wait until next Thanksgiving to read them again. You know, you can read them daily or weekly or monthly or whenever you realize that it's been too long since you really worshipped and praised the Lord. From Psalm 34:1, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Psalm 35:27 says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, 'Let the Lord be magnified, who hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.'" That was Psalm 35:27. From Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, the Amplified Version, it says, "Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul. And all that is deepest within me, bless his holy name. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all of his benefits, who forgives every one of all your iniquities, who heals each one of all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth, renewed, is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, soaring." And then from Psalm 112, we read, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted." That's from Psalm 112, the New Living Translation. Psalm 113 from the Holman Translation says, "Hallelujah! Give praise, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is exalted above all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one enthroned on high? Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the garbage pile in order to seat them with nobles, with the nobles of his people. He gives the childless woman a household, making her the joyful mother of children." Hallelujah. And the last psalm we'd like to read today is the Message translation of Psalm 150. Hallelujah. Praise God in his holy house of worship. Praise him under the open skies. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise with a blast on the trumpet. Praise by strumming soft strings. Praise him with castanets and dance. Praise him with banjo and flute. Praise him with cymbals and a big bass drum. Praise him with fiddles and mandolin. Let every living, breathing creature praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're thankful to you for listening to our program. Again, we'd love to hear your comments, so give us a call, send us an email. Even if you'd like to suggest a topic or a guest for our show, we want to introduce KSUR listeners to various other Christian professionals, business people, and ministries that are in Central Texas area. So we wanted to want you to think of this as a hub or a clearing station so that we can share good information with you about great people and what they're doing as they sense God's call in their lives, whether they're, no matter what profession they're in. So we promised a gift. The first person who calls us, 751-0565, or the first person who emails me at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com, you'll receive a free copy of my book, Today's Word on Money. We'll need to get your phone number and your email address because we'll email you a PDF form of the book. The book is, we're still looking for a hard copy publisher. We're evaluating various proposals. So we look forward to visiting with you next week. Thanks again for tuning in. We want to wish you, hope you've had a great Thanksgiving. We hope that you receive the Lord's very best in every area of your life. May the Lord richly bless you. And hope this coming holiday season is one of your best yet. And 2010 is a great year for you. So thanks for tuning in to Enriching People's Lives.